I like it when we have a full church, but I also like it when I can come down and get close to you. Our text for this evening's message is the gospel lesson, which we read together. We tend to divide people into two groups, don't we? Men and women, young and old, athletes and non-athletes, politicians and non-politicians, Republicans and Democrats. We divide society into the haves and have-nots. That's part of the way we are. And in our text this evening, Jesus speaks about people, humanity, being divided into two groups. One group will be divided off to his right and the other to his left. Those on the right will go on to everlasting blessedness and joy in heaven. Those on the left will go to everlasting darkness and death and that which has been prepared for the devil and the fallen angels, aka hell. Those that are going to heaven and those that are going to hell. It's amazing that in most of life, we don't think of that division, do we? We don't think of people as those who are going to heaven or those that are going to hell. I remember a professor at the seminary said, every time a siren goes by, it means that someone may be either seconds from death or has already died. That's rather sobering thought, isn't it? And either heaven or hell. In our text, Jesus speaks about a parable of those being divided. And then the master, the king, Jesus himself, saying, you know, blessed are you who are on my right, because I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick or in prison and you came and you visited me. And the people say, Lord, when did we see you in these conditions and help you out? And he says, whenever you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. And he says to those on the left, well, you know, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me anything to drink. I was sick and in prison and you didn't come and visit me. And the group says, well, Lord, when did we see you in need and not help you? And he says, whenever you fail to do it to the least of these, my brothers, you fail to do it to me. Both groups are oblivious to the fact that they either did something or they didn't do something. My guess is that those that have been cast to the left, those that are going to that lake of fire and the place reserved and prepared for the devil and his evil angels, certainly have in their mind, well, Lord, if we knew it was you, certainly we would have done something. We would have fed you. We would have clothed you. We would have given you something to drink. But it was just that bum on the street. You know, that panhandler. So, you know, if we'd have known it was you, you know, if you'd have had that name tag, I'm Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord of all, of course we'd have given you something. And yet those that are cast to the right, they don't know either. But yet they've done it. And they've just done it because they've been living their lives as God's people. We're coming to that season when the little kettles are going to be out in front of the places of business. And there's sort of two ways of looking at those kettles, aren't there? Well, there's nobody ringing that bell. I can just go in and out and everything's okie dokie. Or, oh, geez, it's somebody I know. Like John Sandberg last year was ringing the bell. Oh, somebody I know. I guess I better put something in. And so it's sort of like guilt, guilt, guilt. But then there are those times, and there are times, we all have those times. I have those times, and like we're in a hurry, or we're short on funds ourselves. But then there are those other times when we aren't even thinking about it, are we? We just, oh, I got some change, and you just stick it in the kettle and you're on your way. Or you see a tree that's got some name tags on and you just, oh, I'll just take a couple and get stuff because I like doing that. And the Lord says when we do things for the least of those, we're really doing it to Him. But the people that are doing it, they're not aware that they're doing it. But yet, in a sense, they're judged on the basis of their deeds, aren't they? Certainly, faith is what saves us. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We have to believe in that. Because if we're only left to be saved by whether we put something in the kettle or not, we're in trouble, aren't we? We're in big trouble. But we put our salvation in what God has already done for us at the cross. In the hymn we sang, we spoke of God loving us in His Son before even the world was created. Even before God began this world in which we live and before Adam and Eve fell into sin, God had already redeemed us in His Son, Jesus Christ. He knew that He would send Him to the cross. He knew your ancestor and mine, Adam and Eve, were going to muck things up. And that's incredible love, isn't it? It's like setting out, oh, let's say I'll bake a strawberry pie or an angel food cake. And if I knew ahead of time that it was going to flop, I'd probably do something else, more constructive. Instead of putting in the time to get it prepared and stick it in the oven, and especially that angel food cake, and pull it out and just see it in the pan. But that's what God does for us in His Son. And He loves us and He's called us to be His people. And the parable talks of those that are His people, who live God-pleasing lives, lead Christian lives, not because they're looking to, now is this the Lord? If I do this, I'm sure to get into heaven. No. They do it because they've already experienced God's love and care in their lives. Nor do those that aren't doing it go, well, is it the Lord? Is it the Lord? If I do it, I'll get into heaven. Because you know what? They really don't care. They don't care. Because they don't know any difference. You see, you and I, we understand that there's a heaven and there's a hell. And we know we're going to heaven because we believe in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And we cling to that cross and that death and that resurrection as though our life depended upon it, because it really does. But you see, those other people, they don't know that there's a hell. And they don't know that there's a heaven. Because for them, heaven and hell is right here. That's what I make of this life here on earth. Because for most of them, the devil has deluded them into thinking that, hey, this is it. You die and that's it. Well, one person described hell as, well, it's the place where the devil and the angels go. That's what it was prepared for. Not for God's creatures, man. But if we turn our back on God and follow after the prince of this world, that's where we're going to end up. And you know what? That hell then is a separation, an eternal separation. First, from the people that we love, I suppose. More importantly, a separation from God. There is no hope. There is no second chance then. And then, worst of all, you've got that devil and those evil demons there. And you think they're not going to be in your face saying, "Ha ha ha, we got you here, my little pretties." And you're going to have to put up with that forever. Not a very pleasant thought. But those that are to enter into heaven, "Lord, when did we do these things?" They're not aware. And in the office we were talking about, "Well, Pastor, what's your theme for this weekend?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, I'm sort of toying around with something like, well, maybe when ignorance isn't blissful." Because ignorance is really life without Jesus. And it's certainly not blissful. And when those books are open, because this weekend we mark the end of time. Not that the end of time is coming, but we mark when it will come. And the books are opened. And all that will be revealed will be what God has done through us and in us by faith and by His Holy Spirit. Those times when I may have, "I don't want to help that panhandler," are going to be wiped away. And there's going to be times there, "Well, I didn't know that was the Lord that I helped out." Those things will be revealed. You know, it isn't for our credit. That's for God's credit. Just one last story. This text was a devotional reading one day when I was in college. And some friends and I were going into Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee. I had to go to Marquette University to get some things out of the library and photocopy some things. And my buddies dropped me off a couple blocks away and they said, "Well, we're going to poke around here in the Augsburg Fortress store and spend money, and you can walk up to the library and do your scholarly things." And I'm on my way up there, and this fellow comes up to me. And of course, this is downtown Milwaukee, and I'm used to running into panhandlers in Milwaukee. And this fellow comes up like out of nowhere. He's right next to me. And I'm like, oh well. Lots of people walking on the sidewalk. He goes, "You got some time?" And I'm like, "Well, no, not really. I'm in a hurry. I got to meet some buddies. I got to get in the library. I got to get some copies made before they have the hours closed." And he goes, "Well, all I want is, you know, there's a diner up on the corner. I'm just wondering if you can, you know, buy me a cup of soup." I'm like, "Well, I really don't have the time." I reach in my pocket. I got an extra dollar in there. I don't think I'll need that for my photocopies. I said, "Well, I don't have time, but here's a dollar for you." And I said, "You know, I just don't have the time." And he's like, "Well, okay, you know, that's fine." I mean, he wasn't pesky or anything. And so he went off, and I stuck my hand in my pocket again. It's like, "Well, where'd that come from?" I go, "Hey, I got another 75 cents here. You can probably get some crackers for that bowl of soup." And the fellow's gone. And this is like a crowded sidewalk. Shouldn't be any time, you know, should be there that I can see him. He's wearing black. I should be able to find him. He wasn't that small of a person. And I'm just walking in the library. It's like, Come back to campus, tell a campus pastor who was my advisor, "Like, guess what happened?" And he was sort of being cynical with me, which I guess was okay. He goes, "Well, he probably just took that dollar you gave him and bought himself a cheap bottle of wine and had himself a good drunk. He took you." And I'm like, "Well, but to me, it's just too much coincidence." God puts that word in my mind and in my heart, and this fellow just appears and disappears from nowhere. Someday I'll know who the fellow was and what it was all about. But I said, it really wasn't dependent upon me whether he took that money and bought himself a bottle of wine or a bowl of soup now, was it? And see, sometimes we get caught in that, don't we? You know, well, they're just going to blow it on something that they shouldn't anyways. Maybe, but maybe not. God holds them responsible for that, not us. Notice he says to those who did these things unto him, not what those who received did with what they received. To me, that was the more important lesson, because every now and then I come back to that. Now, don't be so judgmental. Just put the best construction on it. And so it is. When the Lord comes, we'll all stand there. And we'll be divided into twos. Heavens and hells. The haves and the have-nots. Sometimes we may have to be a have-not in this life to be a have in the life to come. So, maybe a theme when ignorance isn't so blissful is pretty appropriate. But may we not be ignorant of our salvation. May we not be ignorant of the love that God has shown to us in his Son Jesus, the love which he wants us to bear in our lives and in the world in which we live. That we bring glory to him who gave his life for us, even as we serve our neighbor around us. Amen.